chapter 8, verse 27 to 38. I'm going to put this back and then we'll pray. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. This chance to be in your word and to be with one another. And as we read your word today, we pray that we are reminded that your son Jesus is the word made flesh. And through Christ's life has shown us what it means to be your child. What it means to experience your love. And so, Lord, we pray that word that Jesus Christ breaks into our hearts, changes us, molds and shapes us to the creature that you would have us be. And I pray, Lord, that the truth affects us in that way, and that anything that is not from you is quickly forgotten. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, follow along the best you can. It's Mark chapter 8. Verse 27 to 38. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and so others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And I'll go on one more verse. And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God has come with power." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Mark. Well, actually not Mark, Peter. I absolutely adore Peter. I'm not sure if Peter were alive today, if Peter and I would be the closest of friends. But I like him. Respect him. Peter's the kind of person who doesn't let what other people think about him get in the way of what he says. Peter's the kind of guy who speaks his mind, speaks his heart, says it just as he feels it is without any influence from others. I like that about Peter. I like that about Peter a lot. And he does it here also. We see it, well, because he does that, because he kind of wears his emotions on his sleeve and he speaks his mind, we see that Peter has some really great highs and really low lows. Life kind of bounces up and down. A great follower of Jesus, passionate, "I will never, ever, ever betray you, Lord." And then kind of misses the mark there and does betray Jesus and betrays Jesus big. And then is reinstated by Christ, and then tradition has it that Peter was persecuted by the people, and he was sent to be crucified. Do you know this story? How was Peter crucified? upside down. That's how tradition tells us. It's not anywhere in the Word of God, but it is what tradition has handed down. And the way the story goes is that Peter believed that he was not a fit man in order to die the way his Savior did. And so he was crucified upside down. A remarkable man indeed. Now, learn a little bit about him. Jesus here was walking along the way and he was curious. You know, it's kind of funny. If Google was in that day, I almost think that Jesus would have Googled his own name. And so he doesn't have Google, but he has his disciples there. So he asks them, he says to them, "Who do people say that I am?" That is a big question, because in the minds of some people, Jesus is fitting this role that prophecy had given them through the Old Testament. Now, prophecy can be a scary thing, because oftentimes it's not fulfilled for hundreds of thousands of years. And to say that prophecy is fulfilled, it's a very scary statement to make. And so a lot of people weren't willing to make that. Jesus says, "Who do people say that I am?" And so they said, "Well, they think you're John the Baptist." Remember, prior to this, John the Baptist had lost his head. He was killed in prison. And so they thought that Jesus was the spirit of John the Baptist come back. Others thought that he was Elijah, because it was said that Elijah would return. And then others still say that he was one of the prophets, a great man, bringing the word of God to change the culture. But Jesus asked a question that is probably the most important question that you will ever be asked in your entire life. And he asks it to his disciples. "But who do you say that I am?" Peter, being Peter, steps up and says, "You're the Messiah." He takes all that stigma, all that pressure of what it means to say that prophecy is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and he comes out boldly proclaiming what other people are too afraid to, and he says, "You're the Messiah. You're the one sent by God. You're the Son of God." Jesus says, "Good job. Good job. Don't tell anyone." You got to understand that for Peter to proclaim that Jesus is the Messiah, what Peter was proclaiming is that Jesus was the king sent by God in order to make Israel a nation. At least this is what all the people thought that the Messiah was. To make a kingdom. To establish something that was separate from Rome. And this is perfect timing, because Rome was a force to be reckoned with that only God can deal with. And to say that Jesus was that man was stepping out on a limb. To say Jesus was that guy was to say that the waiting's over, action is now going to begin. I mean, it's easy to wait for a prophecy, because once the waiting ends, that's when the real work starts. And so for Peter to say that the waiting is now over, Peter's saying, now we're going to see something. But Peter, along with the rest of the Jewish people, were a little mistaken about the kind of kingdom that God was bringing through Jesus Christ, or at least the timing of it. And so when Jesus then started to proclaim and started to teach, "Let me tell you about what the Messiah has to go through. The Messiah is going to be beaten, to be betrayed, to be killed upon a cross." It would be almost like saying, that someone among us, we thought extremely highly of them. We thought that they were going to be the hero of Trafford, whatever that means. The one to make Trafford an independent township that is no longer dependent upon Monroeville. Wow. And then all of a sudden, that person was charged with some crime and sent to the electric chair. And that's what that person said. "You know, you call me a hero, but I'll tell you this. They're going to charge me falsely, and they're going to send me to the electric chair." Peter's such a big, brave guy It's one who tends to put his foot in his mouth. And so he doesn't believe this. And he says, it can't be. You can't die. You can't say, I'm the Messiah, I'm the king. And then the next sentence say, but the king's going to be hung upon a cross. So he pulls Jesus aside. At least he tries to do it in private. And he says, come here, Jesus, I want to talk to you. And he says, I rebuke you. You can't do this. This is wrong. You're wrong. And Jesus says, no, you're wrong. You know, in our lives, every single day, or maybe even at specific moments of our lives, those key moments, we may get asked the question, who do you say Jesus is? You don't have to answer out loud. But I ask you, who do you say Jesus is? Who is Jesus to you? The thing is that question is not just a simple answer. It's not a simple answer that says, well, I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Well, that's great. Well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, that's swell and wonderful. Well, what Jesus was getting at in asking the disciples, who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you say that I am? He then backs it up with really telling them what that means. And what that means for them, for the disciples, and what that means for us is that if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and what that means is that you have to take up your cross and follow, or take up your cross and follow him. What that means is that if you're proclaiming that Jesus is your king, if you're proclaiming that Jesus Christ is your salvation, if you're proclaiming that Jesus Christ is your sovereign and saves you, what that means is then follow him. Obey him. Do what it is in your life that you need to do in order to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Peter didn't like it. He didn't think that following Jesus Christ would be hard. He thought following Jesus Christ would be great. He didn't think that following Jesus Christ meant death upon a cross or being betrayed by their people. But Jesus says it does. That life ahead is not easy. One richly rewarding in so many wonderful ways, but not necessarily easy. Hard. Sometimes difficult. Sometimes sad. So we ask ourselves when we wake up in the morning, who do we say that Jesus is? And then the follow-up question is, what does that mean? What does that mean for us today? What does that mean for our walk in this life? If we as a church of Trinity United Methodist Church proclaim that Jesus is the Messiah, what does that mean? How is that lived out in the lives of us together? How does that mean that we treat one another? How does that mean that we treat Trafford around us? To say that, I can say that Donald Trump is a presidential candidate. But right now, that doesn't mean a whole lot. I can say that I'm the pastor here at Trinity Church, but what does that mean? I can say that Elijah Daniel is my oldest son. Well, what does that mean? But to say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that means something. That means something big. Because it's into the hands of Jesus that we place ourselves. It's into the hands of the Son of God that we give our lives, our bodies, and our souls. It's into the loving arms of Christ himself that we say, Lord, take us. Mold and shape us and use us for your glory. It's my prayer for all of us that as Peter finally learned the lesson, that we too do the same. That to proclaim Jesus as the Messiah means that it's into his kingdom that we live. It's into his kingdom that we show others what it means to love. I'll close with a thought. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Great Divorce. Anyone read it? You read it? I'm going to say read it if you ever get the chance. C.S. Lewis, Amazon.com, I'm sure has got it. I'm sure it's not very expensive. It's an old book. If you say something like, I don't like reading, that's fine. I don't like reading either. This thing's like 120 pages. Real short book. That's great. You can read this book too. It's like 70 to 120 pages. Real short book. What it's about the relationship between heaven and hell. It's not what he thinks heaven and hell will be like. It's about the relationship of the two. In the foreword, he says something like this. He says, for those who do not proclaim Jesus Christ at all, who don't have that hope through Christ, then earth is the beginning parts of hell. There's no hope. There's pain, there's sorrow. And once this life's over, it's done, it's finished, it's gone. But for those who proclaim Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the Messiah, and place their hope and their trust and their life in Christ, earth then becomes the beginning parts of heaven. Sure, it's not perfect, and it's hard, and it's difficult, and we come up against so many broken promises that it's difficult to laugh. But yet there's always hope. No matter what it is that we go through, no matter what it is that we experience, we know that if Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, there will always be that hope. And so we experience the beginning parts of heaven. This is what it means to proclaim Jesus Christ as the Messiah and to share that love and hope with those around us. And so I pray as a church and as individuals of the body of Christ that we do just that, praising Jesus each day. Let us stand together and sing our next hymn, which I'm going to try and tell you the right one this week.